I brought half the kids with me. Okay, you big kids might want to come to this one too. You'll actually like it. Yeah. Trust me on this one. If you come see me, you might be happy. Yeah. Grant, you can come if you want. All right, just crowd around. Okay, William, can you sit down? You can say prayer when we're finished. Okay, I need your help this morning. Do you think you guys can help me? I need you guys to tell everybody something. Can you turn around and say really, really loud the words Happy Sabbath to everybody?
Happy Sabbath!
Okay, you guys can do better. 3, 2, 1.
Happy Sabbath!
Good job. Thank you so much. What are we celebrating this season? What season is this?
Christmas.
And what are we celebrating when we celebrate Christmas?
Presents.
No. This is not about presents, but presents are fun, huh?
Jesus.
We're celebrating Jesus, God's birthday. We're actually celebrating the birthday of Jesus, right? Now, are we just celebrating his birth? Or are we also celebrating his life?
Life.
His life. All right. Now, I have something special. There was a candy maker in Indiana who designed the candy cane. Do you guys know what a candy cane is?
It's candy cane.
Yeah. Oh, I've got a few of those.
Okay, so this guy in Indiana designed the candy cane. Now, it actually had existed before, but it was just solid white. It actually started out as a stick, just a peppermint stick. But this guy decided he wanted to use it to celebrate Christmas. He wanted to tell the Christmas story about a miraculous birth to a shepherd who would give his life for his sheep. Now, who is the shepherd?
Jesus.
And who are we?
The sheep.
The sheep. Okay. So what is this shape? Besides a cane, it's also the shape of a what? A shepherd's staff. Please don't touch that. Thank you. Sit down, please. So it is also the shape of a staff. Now, what happens when I turn it this way? What letter is that?
J.
J. Okay. And what does J stand for?
Jesus.
Now, is this hard or soft?
Hard.
Hard. Do you know why it's hard? Anybody know? So it doesn't break. You're right. Okay. Now, Jesus is our rock. So we have this hard so we know that Jesus is our rock. What does that mean? Is he always going to be here for us? Okay, that means God will always be with you. Okay. Now, it's white. Why is it white? Can anybody tell me why a candy cane is white? Because it's pure. That's right. This is to represent the purity of Jesus' life. The purity of Jesus' life and his birth. Okay? Now, William, will you please sit down?
Thanks.
Sit down.
Thank you.
Okay, now on the candy cane, there are stripes. Do you see the three skinny stripes? Now, they can have lots of meanings, but the one that I liked was the best, was that they represent the Trinity. Does anybody know what the Trinity is? Maybe some of the bigger kids might know. Do you know, Noah? Okay, you're close. It's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Now, who is God the Son?
Jesus.
Jesus is God the Son. That's right. And it's J for Jesus. Now, there's also a solid stripe. Do you see that solid stripe, the big, wide, solid red stripe? That is to represent the one true God. Okay? Now, some of them also have a green stripe. Have you ever seen a candy cane with a green stripe?
No.
Yes. The green stripe is representing that Jesus is God's gift to us. Was Jesus a gift to each of us? Yes. All right. Now, what does it taste like? What does a peppermint, or what does a candy cane taste like? You guys should know now. Does it taste like peppermint?
No.
Now, there's lots of different flavors for candy canes, but the traditional candy cane tastes like peppermint. And do you know why? I did not know this. I learned something new. It tastes like peppermint because that is similar to the flavor of hyssop. Does anybody know what hyssop is? I didn't either. Hyssop is something that they used to use to represent purification and sacrifice. Have you guys ever heard of the Passover? Okay. During the first Passover celebrations, they used bundles of hyssop to spread blood, Passover blood, on the doorposts. So that's why we have hyssop. And that's why the candy cane is flavored like peppermint. So this candy cane, is this something good to eat? I like candy canes. I think they're really yummy. Do you know what's really good? You take vanilla ice cream and a bunch of candy canes and some milk, and you make a vanilla milkshake. That is real. It's actually a peppermint milkshake. That's really yummy. So, moms, if you don't know what to do with your candy canes, they make great milkshakes. But this is something that also represents God. Okay? It represents Jesus. Can we remember that? Now, is Christmas about presents? No. Christmas is about the life of Jesus. We just happen to get to have presents as well to remind us that it's nice to share and to give. Now, first, I'm going to have William pray, and then afterwards, I have some candy canes for you, and I have some little ones that you can take, and you can share with somebody else. Do you think you can share with others? All right. So, William, can you pray?
Yeah. Dear Jesus, thank you for loving us and blessing us and keeping us safe and help us get our food. And help us to go to the grocery store. And in your name, amen.
Well, that candy looked good if they had any extras. I mean, you know. Now, Dr. Mi Lee was to give the prayer, but obviously he's busy. So I'm grateful that I have the opportunity to invite you, if you're able, kneel with me as we have our pastoral prayer. Any extras?
And in your name, amen.
Over the hills and everywhere, go tell it on the mountain.
to know that your baby boy would someday walk on water. Mary, did you know that your baby boy would save our sons and daughters? Did you know that your baby boy has come to make you will soon deliver you? Mary, did you know that your baby boy will give sight to a blind man? Mary, did you know that your baby boy will calm the storm with his hands? Did you know that your baby boy has walked where angels trod? When you've kissed your little baby, then you've kissed the face of God. Oh Mary, did you blind will see, the deaf will hear, the dead will live again. The lame will leap, the lamb will hear, the faces of the living. Mary, did you know that your baby boy is Lord of all? Your baby boy will one day rule the nation. Did you know that your baby boy was heaven's perfect lamb? This sleeping child you're holding is the great
God. 2,000 years ago, an unwed girl became pregnant. She would have been terrified for several reasons. She was part of a society that would have brutally murdered her for the crime of being an unwed mother. Thank you. So she was, really reading, I can't see it. Okay. So she was relying entirely on the protection of the man she would marry, and few, if any, people would have believed her persistent claim about a virginal conception. Come on, would you believe a girl who said, "I'm pregnant, but I swear we didn't do anything"? Fast forward several months. The young mother lay on a bed of straw, perhaps staring up into the face of a sympathetic cow as the waves of pain hit her, coming closer and closer together as her baby boy neared the moment of his birth. She was probably a teenager giving birth for the first time. She wouldn't have had her mother with her. Her mother was in Nazareth. She wouldn't have had a woman to hold her hand and help her breathe through the contractions. She would have been with her husband. She was married now. In a strange town where they obviously knew no one who could support them. If they had known just one family, they would not have been relegated to the barn outside the inn. We all know the story of the birth of Jesus, but I think we seldom appreciate the shock value. We are too well used to the worn plots. We have cleaned up the narrative, adding halos, scentless animals, and entirely skipping the physical act of giving birth. We call it the nativity. We create little replicas of small, clean stable with a donkey, two sheep, and maybe a cow. Mary leans gracefully over the manger that is propped up to display the perfectly clean infant, complete with halo. She feels no pain. She has lost no blood. She does not have an expanded waist from her very recent pregnancy, nor is there any sign of hormonal fluctuations that might cause her to be emotional. Joseph is not shaken. The baby is not cold or hungry. The night might be cold, but the stable is cozy, and the shepherds are certainly not rough outdoorsmen. They are slender and artistic, with an appreciation for the social niceties.
Regardless of the 2,000 years worth of tidying up the birth of Jesus, it was a shocking event. The Messiah did not come as the people expected him to come. He was supposed to be a king. The prophecies all pointed to the fact, and the ancient Judeans knew their scripture. As a king, he was also supposed to lead the armies of Israel and defeat the savage Romans, freeing the nation from the occupying force. Kings were wealthy. They were privileged. They were charismatic and well protected. They were surrounded by people willing to die to protect them. The Messiah was supposed to be a king, and everyone is awaiting the hero who would lead them to victory. Jesus was the opposite of these expectations. He was poor. His adopted father, Joseph, was a carpenter who built houses. As he grew up, Jesus would have been taught how to work with his hands. His hometown would have known about his questionable paternity, and he would have been labeled as the one whose mother wasn't married when he was conceived. You know what the word is for that. Villages have long memories, especially when it comes to these juicy stories. While God could have chosen a properly married woman with a track record of terrific child rearing, he chose an unwed teenager with a story too crazy to believe. While he could have chosen a woman of regal breeding and royal blood, instead, he chose a poor teenager from the wrong side of the tracks. In today's terms, she would have been like one of the shockingly young mothers on a bus, with the belly bulging against her waitress's uniform, her eyes tired and sad.
At the other end of his life, Jesus was executed as a criminal, naked, nailed to the wooden planks where everyone could walk by and witness. His miserable end, Jesus was nothing like Judea expected. The Messiah was supposed to be someone magnificent, not this ordinary man with questionable paternity. The Messiah was supposed to be a king, not a wandering rabbi with a strange ability to heal. The Messiah was supposed to overthrow the Romans, not be executed by them. Jesus simply didn't fit these expectations. In today's terms, he was just another guy on death row, shuffling up for his turn at the electric chair as newspaper reporters and a few family members looked on through the bulletproof window. Just another innocent criminal getting his due.
Some people don't go to church because they don't think that they're cleaned up enough. Their jeans just aren't going to cut it, and only dress clothes that they own don't quite fit anymore. They look at their lives and think that they just wouldn't fit in with a squeaky clean crowd. They smell of cigarette smoke. Their heads are pounding from a night out where they had one too many. No, churches aren't for the likes of these people. Church is for the church crowd. It's for homemakers, not single moms trying to make ends meet on two part-time jobs. It's for teetotalers, virgins, and people who are in bed by nine. It's for the families with two children and white picket fences, not for the twice divorced dads whose kids resent him for missing too many birthdays. Churches aren't for the likes of us, are they?
Jesus didn't come the way anyone expected, and he didn't come for the people anyone expected. He didn't come just for the picture perfect families. He came for the dysfunctional, messed up families who can't get through a Thanksgiving dinner without a fight. He came for addicts, alcoholics, the abused and the frustrated. He came for kids who think about suicide and for moms who just can't take the pressure anymore. He came for gamblers, people who are depressed, those who hop from bed to bed, from partner to partner, trying to fill the empty hole in their hearts. He came for the upper crust who fed isolated by the expectations placed on them. He came for the ones who tried to follow all the rules but found out that they still felt empty. He came for the gay, the uptight, the rigid, the lonely, and the confused. He was born in a barn, and his ministry was in the gutter. He hung out with questionable company. He rubbed shoulders with the dirty and infectious. He made the religious leaders nervous by his acceptance of anyone who believed in him. And they muttered and complained the way we so often do when we see people who make us uncomfortable.
Were the prophets wrong? What about the prophecies? Was Jesus really the Messiah? What about the king who was prophesied to come? Jesus did not come as the earthly monarch everyone expected, but that didn't change who he was. He was the one who created us. He was the one who gave us our talents, our personalities, our looks, our families. He put us together for a purpose. He spent time thinking about exactly the right mix that would make us uniquely us. He existed before time began. He spoke the universe into existence. He didn't need to be swathed in jewels in order to be a king. He didn't need a pitiful little planet's recognition in order to be royal. He didn't require and doesn't require our worship to make him worthy of it. It was he who was. And you are who you are. You might have been born to parents with problems, and if you were like the rest of us, you have a few skeletons in your closets, issues that you try to hide from general view, past mistakes that you blush to think about. You probably have dreams that are deferred, regrets, and some embarrassments. You might be a little dusty, knocked around, and stepped on. But that doesn't change who you are. You are the one that he was born to save.
A teenage mother gave birth to a baby next to livestock and soiled hay. It had to happen this way. He was destined to come that way. Why? Because 2,000 years later, he wanted you to know that appearances can be deceiving. The scriptures prophesied the coming of a Messiah king, and one day soon he will return to this earth as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. This time, when he comes, he won't be lowering himself into the gutter onto our level. He'll be pulling us up out of the gutter and bringing us to be with him in heaven. The prophecies will all be complete, and so will we. Tears dried, bruises healed, hearts mended.
In spite of appearances, 2,000 years ago,
Jesus truly was born to be a king.
Our king, your king.
Jesus, our Emmanuel, Brother Hugh, we thanked you in advance, but now we must thank you at the end. That was an extraordinary blessing. Thank you to you, the choir, the Susie and the Japanese choir. That was wonderful. The whole thing, the whole presentation, we've got to send those pictures to lots of people. That was very beautiful. And those who came to visit us from other churches and performed and helped us out, thank you as well. And everyone was involved, from the little kids on up. Wasn't that beautiful? And it was worshipful. So thank you. We were really blessed. And one more thing to add that I was thankful for today, a beautiful decor of the sanctuary. That was beautiful. So thank you for everything. Let us bow our heads for closing prayer. Loving Father, it was a very, very high worship service today. How sweet and full that was. How beautiful. Just one rendition of praise after another. Oh, our hearts are filled, and Christmas is much more real as we join the angels and the glorious heavenly host in praising this newborn King. Thank you, Father. Help each one of us experience the Savior's coming to this earth in the way that each of us needs you during this Christmas season. Help each of us know the power and reality of the Son of God born anew in our hearts. Thank you. In Jesus' blessed name we pray. Amen.